I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'ma get a scholarship to King's College.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Second Shot Podcast, the podcast where I don't like calling it the Second Shot Podcast. I keep meaning to just be like, hey guys, welcome back to Second Shot.
Oh yeah.
But I keep doing that, and I don't want to or intend to.
You're in control of your brain.
Yeah, well, I also haven't eaten today, but I've had 3 cups of coffee and now 1 beer.
What? You need some food. You need some brain fuel.
I don't have no brain fuel. So, Devin,
George.
How has your week been? How are you? I haven't seen you in, it seems like forever, but it was in all likelihood about 6 days.
It was about 6, 7 days. This is a good week. It was a good week. I mean, nothing too crazy happened. I got a new computer. That was pretty cool.
Okay.
An iMac.
Ew. I hate Apple, man. I hate Appleman. We could do an episode on Apple. A Macs.
That'll be a good one.
I'm not a Mac at all. I'm not a Mac guy.
I'm hooked on them. I never was.
I am very much a John Hodgman.
You're a John Hodgman. Who played the Mac?
Justin Long.
Justin Long, that's right.
You know, totally the coolest forgot. Guy in the world, Justin
yeah.
Long.
Hey, do you want to be a witty, smart aleck? Get a yeah. Mac.
You want to have a career like that guy from Jeepers Creepers?
I want to be the best friend of every leading role in every romantic comedy.
And then just end up being in Kevin Smith movies because you don't even want to try anymore.
Did transform into that walrus.
Oh, God. I didn't even see that movie. I was thinking of Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Oh, yeah, that's
where
right.
Where he just keeps rambling off, like, gay sex acts.
He's the gay porn actor.
I'm like, this is hilarious if I were 6.
I was 6 when every time I watch that movie because that makes me laugh.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw that, like, in an advanced screening. Like, one of those free, like... You know, show up an hour early, wait in line, but you see it for free like a week before it comes out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I kind of dug it at the time, but I feel like I would not like it now. Because there's a part where there's butt sex, and then she like poops on somebody, right? She like poops on the cameraman or something?
Yeah, the cameraman's like underneath,
and there's like acorn or like peanuts and shit in it, like corn.
It's like, what do you expect from a Kevin Smith joke or movie? It's gonna be a movie about anal and yeah. Gay stuff, and that's it.
Yeah, I like every once in a while I'll watch Clerks. Like I'll go back and watch it, and it just makes me so sad because I'm like, God, he had so much potential. Like there was, like it had all that stuff, like stupid, like. You know, poop jokes and random Star Wars conversations, but like there was like a sadness there and
yeah.
Like a longing for something more
yeah.
That was almost immediately lost when he did Mallrats. Like there's no striving for anything better in that movie. It's literally going back to the 80s with those sex comedies. I think Dogma was the last time he really tried.
I mean, what else was there? I mean, tried to do that type of movie, maybe, because, like, I mean, he did...
Movie with nuance.
Yeah, he did, like, he did Red State.
I didn't see Red State. Everyone's like, oh, you should watch Red State, but I'm so over him at this point.
I thought Red State was pretty decent. I have to watch it again. I only watched it once. Had a weird ending. He did that, and then he did, I think, Tusk was after that.
Yeah, Tusk was, I think, his follow-up. And then he did that... Did you see the trailer for Yoga Hosers?
I watched the movie Yoga Hosers.
Oh, you
Hosers.
Saw it?
Yeah, I watched it.
How is it? I mean, I know what the answer is, but like...
It's not a very good movie. The only reason I took any enjoyment out of it was because I'm a fan of the Hollywood Babylon podcast.
Oh, is that one of his?
Him and Ralph Garman do, so. Yeah. Him and Ralph Garman do this one just about like... showing off Ralph Garman's impressions. They do like
I don't know Ralph
listener
Garman.
Mail. He's Ralph Garman. He's been in a few of Kevin Smith's things. He's been in a few of Marvel's things, just as like a radio guy. He's a radio guy in LA, but he's also an actor and comedian. But that's why I took the enjoyment out of it. He does these great impressions, and he's in Yoga Hosers. Like, he plays, he comes in the third act. He's like this this Nazi guy who's like kind of been behind this whole plot of these evil Nazi sausages.
Yeah, evil wieners that go up your butt or something like that.
And
isn't it supposed to be like a spinoff of Johnny Depp's character from Tusk? Or like he's just in it?
He's in it. His character from Tusk comes in and helps him out, helps out the girls. Because it's Kevin Smith's daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter are the two main characters.
Harley Quinn is so fucking bad as an actress.
She's not.
Like, she was on an episode of Supergirl recently, one that he directed.
Yeah.
And it just, like, she sticks out so much. And it's so frustrating because that episode was pretty fun. Like, all his stuff he's done for the DC TV shows, like, have been pretty. I mean, that Flash episode's one of the best.
He did the Runaway Dinosaur one. Did he do that one?
Was that what it's called? Yeah, the where he's in the Speed Force.
Speed Force, yeah, that's right.
That was a fucking great episode.
One of the best ones, yeah.
And I just watched the other Speed Force episode today, which is fucking great, too.
It was good.
But, yeah, I mean, it. I don't know, man. I mean, I would love to have someone on to talk about Kevin Smith, but I don't know if I could bring myself to. If someone fucking comes on and they're like, you should watch Yoga Hosers just to fuck with me, I'm going to be so fucking pissed, because I know it's going to happen now that I said this.
I mean, like, what he said for that movie is, like, he made it for a new generation of 13, 14-year-old girls to be their clerks to grow up to and like, but...
So he just wanted to make the most shitty version of Clerks he could possibly do, you know, for women.
Clerks for girls. Girl clerks. Gerps.
That's literally like glass ceiling of movies. Like, yeah, you're gonna get Clerks, but it's not nearly gonna be as good.
Just all the iterations of Clerks. Make a black Clerks.
Clerks 2 for, you know, old white men.
Blurks.
Because that's what we needed was, like, it's hard being an old white guy.
It's, I don't know, his career is, he's tried a lot of different things. He acknowledges to himself that he hasn't been able to capture that writing magic that he did on Clerks. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think he's an outstanding director. Like... shot-wise, trying to get the most out of the actors he has is pretty good. Probably didn't go as hard on his daughter.
That was a weird sentence.
Yeah.
He didn't write Cop Out, right? That was the one that he was, like, a hired hand on? And that was supposed to be his big, like, hey, look, I can do studio stuff, too.
Yeah.
And then no one liked it.
I didn't think that was a terrible movie.
Really?
Either. Yeah, I didn't hate that movie that much.
Even he came out and said it wasn't very good.
It's, well, he had a terrible time being on set with Bruce Willis, but, I mean.
Well, I guess this Kevin Smith podcast is off to a rockin' start. well, today we are talking about the Nintendo GameCube, because I have been hogging up the last three episodes with things I love.
Yes.
And I thought,
two out of three,
hey, I'll toss Devin a bone, you know. No, but I felt bad, like, because I unintentionally scheduled three of my episodes in a row. And, you know, we were supposed to record an episode with Dwayne Duke about Linkin Park, but he wasn't able to make it today, so we kind of threw this one together. So we're going to have Billy Stubinsky. We'll see how I pronounce that later when I'm a little bit more drunk. And we're just going to play some GameCube games, because I was never a big GameCube guy. I mean, I'm not a big Nintendo guy in general, but I don't know what games you have in mind. I think we're just gonna do like Double Dash and maybe Smash Brothers.
Maybe a little Smash Bros.
I was playing a little bit of Zelda today, because I was never a Zelda guy either, because I'm not a Nintendo guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was digging some Zelda.
Zelda is an amazing adventure series, and I've always been a Nintendo guy. This system, I think, is a little underrated. I guess we'll talk about it more in a little bit, but...
Yeah. We'll talk about my hatred for that controller.
Oh, I love the controller.
Yeah. We will be back in a few minutes. I don't know what this intermission audio is going to be. Probably just a bunch of, like, beeps. I don't know. Like Mario jumps. I don't know.
Woohoo!
Wow!
It's a me.
And racial stereotype. yeah, we'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll talk about some GameCube. Right, and we're back, guys. We just played a bunch of fucking GameCube.
Oh yeah.
Probably more than we needed to.
No, we didn't even play enough, in my opinion.
that's true. We'll probably play some after this. And we now have Billy Stupinski. Did I say it right?
No, not at all. Stupinski.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wasn't there a Z in there?
Yeah,
but it's Polish. Who fucking knows anymore?
Well, if you're straight up Polish and it's Stupinski, but yeah.
Oh, look at that.
You gotta Americanize it somehow. So yeah.
This was Devin's idea to because I was not a big fan of the GameCube or honestly Nintendo all that much in general. I'm not a hater on them, but I'm not a big fan.
Well, that was your first mistake, so.
Well,
true.
Apparently. Because it seems, I'll just lay it out right now. It seems like, you know, every time I play a Nintendo game or play on a Nintendo system, I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Except for the Wii. I still kind of have to say fuck the Wii when I'm playing the Wii.
We'll do that one next year. Yeah. We'll do that episode next year.
But. Man, did I fucking love this system. I have issues with it. But, you know, I think part of it is the... Maybe it's a time thing for some of it.
Possibly.
Like, I was playing Zelda by myself earlier. Wind Waker. And I had a lot of issues. It's fun. I mean, I didn't get too far into it. But I had issues with, like, the camera and, like, just certain button, like, movements weren't natural to me for certain things. I think part of it is the controller. I'm not a huge fan of the controller, but it's a lot better than I remember it being.
To me, the controller is one of the best parts. I think part of the issue with the camera that you may have been having in the controls is just that you're not used to the controller. The more you would
play it. Yeah, that C-stick I treat like what the PlayStation has with their second, you know, stick. You know, they have the two next to each other and... You know, it didn't help that Wind Waker inverses their horizontal.
Okay, see, I play inverted and
I play inverted with
all that, but
vertical.
Oh, horizontal. But
horizontal. Okay. It was really weird, and I couldn't find how to change it.
I feel like if that is a thing, I probably did find a way to change it back in the day because that would have bugged the crap out of me.
Yeah. Then there was a targeting thing, which I did, but...
You gotta think about when you're talking about the controllers, where GameCube came from, too.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be like an evolution of the 64 controller.
Right.
Which was a terrible controller. People they learned how to work.
Yeah, you learned how to deal with it. It was a terrible controller. I loved the system, loved the games and everything, but yeah, that controller was just god-awful.
That was the last one I owned. I haven't bought a Nintendo system since. Well, actually, I bought a DS.
Well, I mean,
it's a handheld.
They're handhelds on a different arena.
I only bought it for Pokemon. I played like 2 hours of it. I'm like, I got enough.
I just got Pokemon Sun.
Is that the newest one?
Yeah.
Sun and Moon. Yeah. I got Y, I think.
X and Y?
Just Y.
There's like X and Y, Black and White, Sun and Moon.
Black and White came before X and Y, right?
Did it?
I don't know.
There's so many of them. There's X Zeta 2.
I think I stopped buying those around like Crystal. It was like the last one I got.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh wait, no, I got Ruby and Sapphire.
They came out with like Leaf Green and Fire Red.
I loved Leaf Green.
Those were cool
because they were the original 150.
But it was all those annoying technical kinks worked out.
Yeah,
like being able to run. was just enough where I'm like, fucking finally.
Yeah. Being able to move quickly was good. It also, like, took care of some of the issues, like, where everything on, like, the blue and red version was like, oh, you have to, like, link with somebody to trade these things. Like, you could actually get the ones in your own game without having to find somebody else who played.
Yeah. But, okay, so have you, either of you played the Switch at all yet?
No.
I have.
You've played it?
I have. My younger brother bought it, I think, either the day it came out or the day after. And, I mean, it doesn't have a ton of games at launch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the one game everybody was...
Zelda.
Yeah, everyone's freaking out about What's Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild. I mean, unless you're Sony, you're not going to have an insane amount at launch, you know, of games. So
Yeah,
I mean... Okay, so I've never been a Zelda guy. A lot of it is because when I was a kid, my mom would buy me systems, but she wouldn't buy me games. And it would be a lot of, I would get a bunch of bargain bin games, which entirely defeats the purpose. You spend, you know, $200-$300 on a system, especially in the 90s, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And then you don't buy any games. It's like, I had like the Animaniacs game for Super Nintendo, and then Plock. Have you ever played Plock?
Yeah,
I don't think
so.
I've
played that.
I've met one other person who knows what Plock is.
Like a puzzle game?
No.
Sounds like it.
So it's like a little cartoon game where you're kind of like a chroma key Ku Klux Klan member.
Oh.
Because he's just this little like square guy with a yellow robe.
I would have guessed triangle guy.
Well, he has a triangle little like hat that's red. But his eyes are popping out of that, so it's obviously a mask.
Spooky.
But his power is he can throw his limbs, and they, like, boomerang. So you have, like, basically four boomerangs you can throw at somebody, and you're fighting these giant, like, like Pink Floyd's The Wall, like walking lips and things like that. And it's, like, just fucking weird as shit. And the plot is, I mean, as much as a plot can be, someone stole his favorite flag. And so every time you get to the end of each island, because it's very Mario-esque.
Was his favorite flag Confederate flag?
it was red. I remember that part. But every time he would get to the end of the island or the end of the level, he would raise a flag, and it would just be underwear. It would just be like boxers floating in the wind, like with the hearts on them. Like, so I think it's kind of being a comedy, but it's also like, he's very much invoking a clan dragon.
Some imagery.
Well, you got to think. When's the last time you had your favorite flag stolen? You know, that
last week.
And did you go on a crazy tirade?
I
as
killed
a Ku Klux
so
Klan
many
member?
Black people finding it.
There you go. How many boomerangs did you have?
Four.
There what it was is. The flag? Don't tread on me.
It was yellow, though. Yeah. So it was,
yeah.
It was my Donald Trump 2016 flag. It didn't even say "Make America Great Again." It was before the catchphrase came in.
Wait,
that's
so
how
so last
on the
week
ground floor I was
last week in the third month of 2017. You're still upset about your 2016 flag?
Yeah.
Just let it go, man.
I can't let it go.
Let it go.
But what about those emails? I emailed
you gotta find out
so many people
emails.
About my flag.
Oh.
I don't know. Like So what did we play? We played Soul Calibur 2.
Soul Calibur 2 is the first one we popped in there.
I was perfectly fine with, I think it's more, I'm just not a big fighting game guy.
That's how I am. If it's not Mortal Kombat, then I'll play it, but...
Even Mortal Kombat, I'm not a big fan of.
See, Mortal Kombat, you gotta watch out, man.
I've always been such a big fan of fighting games. I haven't gotten, like, way in-depth with them because I was a Nintendo guy, and, like, your Mortal Kombats and your Street Fighters didn't come out on Nintendo systems.
Yeah.
Until there might have been a Capcom versus Marvel game. I don't know if that came out on GameCube or not.
Well, I actually have... Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance for GameCube.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't realize it did come out for that.
Yep.
It was Deadly Alliance. Which one was that?
That.
I feel like I remember that. That was the one with the story. That was like the first one with the story, right?
Well.
Or no. I mean, like an actual in-game story, not something you have to read in a book
before
you play it.
I don't think that one had the story.
Okay.
I think that one
there was
the
like
one
two or
had,
three for for GameCube though, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think Armageddon and Deadly Alliance. I think Deadly Alliance was the one with Frost, which was like the female Sub-Zero.
Okay.
And
then the other one had like the big guy with like swords in his arms, right?
The big dragon dude.
Sort of, yeah.
Organa, or
I don't know.
I think that was his name.
That was the big pull of that one.
Yeah, that was Armageddon.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I other than the fact that I suck at fighting games,
yeah,
like real hard. I mean, I got a little bit better. I was telling Devin, I'm like, I'm a little bit better because I played Dark Souls, so I understand like timing of buttons now.
Yeah,
but I'm still fucking terrible.
You didn't do bad though in that one. Like that's what I love about Soul Calibur is like it's a button masher that like totally
doesn't reward you, but it doesn't punish you either.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it gives you a chance to figure it out on the fly.
Okay.
Where you're able to start mashing buttons, where you won't do that greatly, just mashing buttons. If you figure out the combos and the actual if you use an attack button with a direction on the joystick,
mm-hmm.
it's going to do something else, and you can attack horizontally, vertically.
Yeah.
I thought
it was very. Dead. It used its three dimensions well.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't fully know what I was doing all the time. Like, I would start doing special attacks. I'm like, how the fuck did I do that? I don't even know. Like, oh wait, it's me doing that. Like,
yeah.
And to me, that was the best iteration of Soul Calibur 2 because it did have the special character
Link
in it for GameCube that, yeah, you could be Link.
Anytime you can be Link, it's a good time. That's what
I said. Totally.
I mean, I had I think it was Soul Calibur 2. We could have just looked this up within the last 3 hours of playing this game, but I had the Xbox version or the PS2 version, whichever one it was, that had Spawn on it.
That would be
a big pull for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was a big Spawn guy in high school.
Hell yeah.
I mean, Spawn kind of sucks. When you go back and like read it now, it's like super 90s.
I got like the first 10 issues.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, Spawn looks fucking awesome.
The idea of Spawn is
but you read
awesome.
It, yeah.
When you read it,
you're just like, ooh.
There's a Spawn game that I took up a huge chunk of my childhood. That was on Dreamcast,
mm-hmm.
and it was just a big brawler. And
not the brawler. No, the one where you go through hell.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
Spawn and Armageddon.
That's basically all Spawn games.
Well, yeah, but there was like one specifically where you could like use your chains and shit. Oh boy,
yeah,
that game was fucking great. I mean, it's probably garbage, but at the time,
right?
It was
fuck. And that was for Dreamcast. You said
this
was like I feel like the GameCube was one of the big competitive things Nintendo was trying to do to
Dreamcast
combat.
Came out like a year or two before it, but
Dreamcast was like one of those first like next gen system, like after the N64.
It was real disc based.
Yeah, it had
Sega Saturn was technically.
I forgot about Sega
CD.
Well, 3DO also had discs.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Panasonic.
Mm-hmm.
I had that system as well.
Nice. That's one that I'm missing.
That's such a good system.
I have like. From Atari 2600 all the way up to, like, the PS4 and stuff, I'm missing, like... Well, with the Nintendo Switch, that's another one. So I think I'm missing, like, four now.
Oh, wow.
It's, like, ColecoVision I'm missing, 3DO I'm missing.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like a real hard
ones.
To find one.
Yeah.
Do you have a Virtual Boy?
No, that's another one I'm missing, but...
I had a Virtual Boy. My mom bought me a Virtual Boy, and I had it for 3 months. I brought it over to my cousins one day. They were really into it. I was like, this is hurting my eyes. You can just have it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Thing was supposed to sit on your head, and it's heavy as fuck.
Well, they had a stand for it that you put your head
up to. But it was supposed
to
rest on your head. It was supposed to, like, sit like a VR type thing.
Yeah.
But it weighed, like, almost 10 pounds.
Oh, it was not light.
And it was all bright red and black.
I was almost about to buy one. I was at New York Comic Con a couple years ago now. And, like, I saw it, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting it. And then it's like, well, yeah, it's only, like, $400. I'm like,
$400? Are you fucking kidding
me? Oh, my buddy that lives out in New York found one that was, like, in a warehouse in the middle of nowhere, and it was, like, $250.
Really?
Yeah, and it didn't even have any games with it.
Wow.
I got rid of all the good stuff.
Yeah.
All the shitty stuff that's worth money, I should say. But, like, oh, man.
That's why you gotta be a hoarder. Just keep everything, in case.
I just keep all the garbage. I keep, like, my Duff can from the Duff energy drink. You know,
yeah.
It's like, this is going to be worth some money someday.
Who knows? Maybe it will.
It won't. They sell it at candy stores now.
Oh, well, in that case, it's flooded the market already.
Yeah, I am definitely a hoarder when it comes to video games.
Yeah, you have, and, you have like, everything.
Yeah, yeah, like the GameCube that George borrowed to bring over here. I still have another one at my house. So.
I was going
to
say.
So if you try to steal it, it'd be like, all right, I still got one. We're good.
See, I had a GameCube that my brother just gave to my cousins without me knowing. And then they proceeded to, like, sell it down the line. So it's like, fuck. And then, but I had a Wii, so I could still play all my games and shit on my Wii. So I was like, oh, all right, that's okay. I don't really care so much anymore.
So were you guys a one system at a time kind of guy? I mean, I know you didn't have much control because you were younger. Because, like, I only had a Dreamcast. I had two Dreamcasts, actually, because one, like, for whatever reason, the motor burned out on the first one. And I think it burned out on the second one.
The eye reader for the disc?
Something like that. Yeah, I remember having to, like, move it, like, physically to, like, if I moved it to one, like, to a reset point, like, it would actually start the disc.
Yeah, I got the same problem with one of my Dreamcasts. Yeah.
And I would just play, like, NFL 2K1, you know, or whatever, just play that. I would turn off all the rules. So I just like turn off offsides and just stand right next to the quarterback and just keep sacking. I wouldn't even try to like get a touchdown. I would not just even keep a challenge.
To answer your question, I was not a single system person.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the biggest thing, like growing up. You know, because it's not like we were super wealthy, but my parents like would do everything they possibly could to make our Christmases amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So they would like blow off electric bills and stuff like that so we can have like an awesome system for Christmas. Worked out great for us. My parents, it's like, well,
they're deeply in debt now.
Yeah.
Like, surprise, like, well, you got college this year.
Yeah.
That's some good parents right there. Say fuck it all just for fucking a video game experience for my kids. Like, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, so we always had multiple systems, and all of them that I have today that makes my collection are all day one releases of all these systems, because, you know, my dad would be the guy that, before it was a thing to go out on Black Friday and stuff, he was that dude that was getting the new system the day it was out at 3 o'clock in the morning and stuff.
Okay. What was the system you bought day one that kind of crapped at? Was it the Xbox One?
Yeah, Xbox One. That thing fucking blows. But
yeah. I mean, I haven't played it, but...
Man. Well, I mean, the system...
They've never had a good track record of, like, putting out, like, solid hardware until, like, a few generations.
Well, this gen, actually, Xbox One, I think, this gen... Well, PS2, you had PS2 going against GameCube, going against Xbox, the original. And Xbox, like, I think was the most powerful of the three.
Because of the hard drive.
Because the hard drive, and it also
had the best internet.
Had the best internet connectivity. Gaming. Like, it was killing it with, like, Halo and stuff before anybody was doing that kind of shooter thing.
Because GameCube had online stuff, but it was, like, only 4 or 5 games.
It was only a few games. Like, it was one Final Fantasy game. It was a couple other things. But even PS2 was beating them with that, with, like, SOCOM and stuff.
Fantasy Star SOCOM. Online was one for GameCube that was a lot of fun to play.
I forgot about SOCOM.
That. Yeah.
Because SOCOM came with the microphone.
My God, that was so much fun to screw people up just by yelling in the background and having their team throw frag grenades at their feet.
I didn't have a PS2 until way after, like almost till like the PS2 Slim came out.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am with, I mean, we had PlayStation when it first came out, but after that we went Microsoft and Microsoft and GameCube and all that stuff, so... When it comes to Sony, we are kind of behind the times, but...
Yeah, my uncle gave me his, like, hand-me-down Xbox. Like, he bought another one.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand. I think he was just, like, one of those guys. He's ex-uncle now. He's a fucking cockhole. but he was, like... He was always like, yeah, I got this new thing. And he was really shitty and prideful of the things he bought.
Yeah.
But he gave me that. But what I was going with the PS2 was... my other uncle that my dad was living with when they got divorced, he had a PS2, but he would always pirate games. Like before, he would buy pirated games before it was like really easy to do. So he had SOCOM. It was a pirated version of SOCOM. You'd have to insert it, and if it didn't read it, you'd have to take it out, turn off the PS2, insert it again, and keep doing it. But it would work online somehow, like once you got it going. And we would play SOCOM, and I'm just like, I don't fucking understand how this works, but god damn it, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So, like, George, you're not a big Nintendo guy. Mm-hmm. You're not a big GameCube guy. What's the main thing? Also, I just realized you're not a big Nintendo guy, and you're wearing a Nine Inch Nails sweater right now, sweatshirt.
A Nintendo?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I think there's some Freudian slip there going on.
No, but you're just reading into something that's not there. Are you asking what I am a guy of?
No, why did you not get into the GameCube? What are your main beefs with the GameCube?
I think a lot of it was not accessing it or not having any access to it. Or any real access. I mean, that uncle that had the PS2 with all the pirated games, his son, I guess, he had a GameCube, but he would hoard it because he was a spoiled little piece of shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he would play, you know, I don't even know. He was all wrestling games, I think, which is like, I think that's a lot of it, too, that painted it, because wrestling games, especially at that era, fucking sucked.
Yeah,
I'm sure at the time, terrible. Like, if I'm not a wrestling guy.
Me neither.
Like, but, like, I think at the time it was probably cool, but, I mean, in general, it was like, so, I mean, there was that. I remember loving Pikmin.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
But I only got to play it for, I think I liked Pikmin so much because I only got to play it for such a short amount of time. There was, like, kept wanting more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, almost didn't get your fill, so you were always hungry for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Pikmin was a launch game, another launch game early on.
It was early.
But what I love about the GameCube, like, people tend to give it a bad rep just because, like, there's a thing that people think Nintendo systems aren't as powerful as the other companies, which most of the time that's totally true. The Wii is definitely falling behind. The GameCube actually was more powerful than the PS2. It fell right in the middle of the PS2, and the Xbox was like way ahead.
I think there is an aesthetic point to it too.
Mm-hmm.
GameCube is fucking ugly as shit. So is the controller. I mean, it feels fine in your hand.
I love the controller.
Are you sure it's not nostalgia though?
I feel like it's weight wise and sitting in my hand, just like it feels amazing. Like there's rounded edges and it's comfortable. And
yeah, but when you press like the trigger buttons and stuff, it feels clicky. It feels like there's a you have to work for it a little bit more than.
Well, that was the first like start to an actual like trigger, like compressing trigger.
The 64 had it, and it was far less.
I mean, there's a lot of them that had those buttons on the top, but they are all like bumper buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Where the GameCube actually had a trigger that compressed a decent amount.
And the PlayStation 1 had it too.
PlayStation 1 was still buttons.
It was still more buttony than this one is. It's actually like a.
Oh, you're right.
Press.
Yeah, I'm thinking more PS2.
Yeah, and PS2, when that PS2 first came out, their controllers were PS1 controllers, the exact same.
Just with joysticks.
And the R2 buttons were actually. They were actually buttons. They were bigger, but they were still buttons. And then shortly after is when they got into the actual trigger part for the R2 and L2.
Yeah, maybe it's just. I think there's 100% a factor of being spoiled with games now.
Yeah,
and systems now. I mean, like, it hurt my eyes playing this. Like, yeah. My eyes aren't the greatest to begin with. Like, I mean, it adjusted. You know, but when we played Double Dash, that was really hard at times to understand what was happening.
Well, I feel like that's every Mario Kart game. Like, if you don't know the course, your eyes are going to be flying around the screen trying to figure out which way to go.
Just even the resolution. Unfamiliar. Like,
yeah.
Especially playing on an HDTV.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, not necessarily in a bad way. I mean, there's definitely a certain aesthetic because I'm someone who loves watching, you know, VHS movies and stuff. Like, low quality video. I get it, but at the same point, it was like, especially with Mario Kart, those small corners of the screen, and there's so much happening.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's insanely fun. Like, I mean, the chaos of that game is what makes it fun. But at the same point, not being able to understand what's fully happening all the time, kind of.
Well, I think that with that, it's like you said, you're so used to the new systems mm-hmm. that going back to the old ones, it yeah. hurts your eyes. But
if it's you, nostalgia if you play, for the present when I'm playing.
Well, the more you play those old games, and you kind of like readjust yourself,
yeah.
the easier it is to hop back and forth. Because yeah. like when I first moved out of my parents' house and I just took like just my Xbox with me and left all my other game systems, that's all I had. And I was good and I was doing my thing. And then when I come and grabbed all those and started playing them again after like 3-4 years of not, mm-hmm. I like had a terrible headache trying to play these games because it was just like, these are so bad graphics, you know, what the hell? And then, you know, as you play them more and more now, like what we played today, it was didn't bother me at all, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you get an appreciation for gameplay.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like, I'm not a big gamer. I don't read, you know, gaming reviews unless it's like, yeah, buy this game. You know, like Mass Effect or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to read a review of it before I spend, you know, $60-$70 on it. But when I read things about the graphics and the frame rates and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, that's not a big issue for me. I mean, that, like, I would like my game to look good when I'm playing it, but yeah. I'm not worried about frame rates necessarily.
Anytime anybody brings up graphics and, like, kind of like writing games off or not having good graphics, I always go back to like the old school Grand Theft Autos because those were great games. And
you
the,
mean the top down ones,
yeah, like GTA 2 the top and view, stuff? Yeah, yeah, those are great games. And God, those graphics were god awful, yeah, they were like the worst, but it didn't matter, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Whenever you go back and revisit something, the graphics are not going to be as good or always hold up, like, especially like how just like game changing Mario 64 was
for N64. Yeah, like, oh my god.
You go back and play that game, it does not look good whatsoever. It is terrible.
But the gameplay is still there.
But at the
and
time,
I think that's the,
yeah.
the thing with Nintendo is they really focus on gameplay.
They play
which is
gameplay and novelty. They're trying to do something mm-hmm. new with every system.
Yeah.
Yes. I will say something like the Wii is 100% intended as a party system. Mm-hmm. It is not intended to be a solo play. I mean, there are games that are there you can play solo, but there it's 100% for a Mario Party or Wii Bowling,
Wii
or
Sports,
something like
that.
Yeah,
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 yeah. Now I did have Call of Duty 3, I think it was, or
you made
maybe
a Call of Duty for that system.
Oh, they do Call of Duties on just about all the Nintendo
That's
systems.
Weird.
But I gotta say, for the Wii, it might have actually been Call of Duty 2 or something, but it was really badass, because it was like, one, if you're running through, it was all World War II, trying to take out Germans,
mm-hmm.
and having to physically aim your controller, like, to hit them, that took a whole other skill level, and then it was just fun as hell going up and, like, physically having to move your arms to like gun butt somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, right. So it was like, you know, the motion was there and you had to actually hit the guy in the back of the head with your gun to that was a lot of fun.
And that was like one of the few times at Nintendo, a lot of times I could feel like the reason a lot of people fell off of Nintendo was once the other systems, like the other companies, started to come into their own, it was all of these third party games that would be available on PlayStation and Xbox, mm-hmm. but wouldn't come to the GameCube. And like things like Call
yeah.
of Duty and like the sports games and stuff were things that did cross over, but a lot of people were missing. Like I think after this Final Fantasy for GameCube, there was like no Final Fantasy on Nintendo for a long time.
Right.
And people wanted to play stuff like that. But at the same time, I feel like GameCube had a lot of exclusive games that you could only, I mean,
well,
like,
they
I yearned
almost
for.
Almost only had exclusive
yeah.
games.
Yeah.
They were kind of ostracized from a lot of games and franchises.
Yeah, they really were.
I think part
were.
Of it is, like, something like the Wii, it was the only system at the time that didn't have HD support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't have a real control system. It had the Wiimote thing, which I'm sure they had to create a whole new system for.
They finally went to big discs, and they still didn't play DVDs.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of...
That frustrated me about the Wii.
They're always like, one step behind. It seems like the Switch is the one time they've been like, oh yeah, let's get a step ahead on this thing.
I mean, the Wii was a step ahead as far as motion.
Yeah, but it was sensing. Still, I mean, it was that technology was around. It was just that became the gimmick of the system. Because, I mean, the PlayStation had, you know, the PlayStation Eye on PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they just added the controllers to the PS Move, which I was a sucker for, and I bought. I spent $100 on that goddamn shit, and then another $50 on an extra little bubble stick.
Yeah, with the little ping pong ball on top.
Yeah. So I bought that, and I was like, it was kind of like an excuse to like, maybe I'll just start trying to work out a little bit. And I bought a workout thing, and I bought an underground cage fighting game starring Danny Trejo.
Oh my god, this is great.
So yeah, I mean, the game is fucking horrendous. Like, the controls, I mean, it was just anything the PlayStation Move pumped out was just really bad, but like, they the tutorial, and there's video of this online, look it up, but the tutorial is Danny Trejo standing shirtless in a dark, wet basement. He's like, all right, if you want to punch, you gotta go like this, huh, 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 and he's pumping this PlayStation Move stick with a bright pink ball on top of it. And then he's like, if you want to go with your left arm, you got to go, huh, huh, huh. And the other one's a powder blue one. And he's like, if you want to swing, you go, huh, huh. And he's just waving these bright colored rainbow in its dark basement. It's fucking hilarious.
So not all trends are good trends, is what you're trying to say.
I don't know. I'm a big fan. It was well worth $150 I spent.
Well, the Wii was revolutionary at the time. It seems like more people are starting to, I mean, even Nintendo going to the Switch. It's like they still include the motion sensing thing, but they are still, they kind of like...
Well, they honed in on it.
They kind of brought it out of back a little bit, and they're like,
yeah,
we're going to use this as an auxiliary thing. Our main thing is going to be a regular fucking controller. Like, people want to play video games.
It's still a weird controller, but like, I mean, it seems like it's just an extension of the Wii U controller.
Yeah,
which I was surprised at how well it worked in my hand, because it's big as fuck.
The Wii U, I when I got my Wii U, that thing, it was fantastic because it was like, it wasn't a regular game system, you know. Like, if Sam, my girlfriend, would be like playing a game on Xbox, and I have my Wii U hooked up there, it was like, I can still jam on my Wii U.
Yeah, you don't even need to
play my
TV.
Super Smash and this and that all right there.
I mean, there's no reason for them to have a DS at this point. Because, really, I mean, it's an entirely portable system. You don't even need to be anywhere near.
Yeah, you can make your portable system is in one with
that's fucking nuts.
Your
I mean,
TV
that's,
system, yeah.
Which that is kind of a bad move on them, because they're kind of like replacing themselves, you know? Because handheld systems, it's like, yeah, there's like the PlayStation Vue.
They are the
or
only
whatever,
one who has it.
It's, you know,
yeah,
who the hell has one of those?
It's kind of knocking out a big part of your business, because people still did cling to that handheld. That was a big thing keeping Nintendo afloat, was people still want to play handheld Pokemon and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's knocking them out, though. I think it's just upgrading. It's fucking kicking it up. Like,
it's efficiency, 10. And it's you're combining everything in one, and now people are like
creating a whole new market.
Exactly. Yeah, you're like, you're not going to be like, oh, now I have to decide between which Nintendo thing I want to buy. I'm only going to buy one of them. Meanwhile, Nintendo's still spending the same amount to make both things.
Yeah.
Now they're spending one amount to make one thing, and no matter what choice you're making, you're buying this thing.
Yeah, because I mean, if Pokemon keeps dragging its feet and saying, no, we're not going to do a real full RPG, they can still make DS games. But if they really fucking want to do a real Pokemon game that every single human being on the earth who plays Pokemon wants, they can do it now.
Oh,
and they can still say it's a portable game.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I give it up to Pokemon, because from Red and Blue all the way up to Sun and Moon, they have done the exact same game over and over and over again. And it's still just as good as it was.
And all they do is just make these these Pokemon that look more and more like things in real life.
Yeah.
People are just like fine with it. And it's like,
yeah, and it works. People keep buying them. I got it, you know.
I get it.
That's from 96 or something like that.
But it's the thing, it's gameplay. The gameplay is good.
Yeah, they nailed it.
They hone in on certain things, and sometimes they trip on other things, and they improve it, and they make it work.
They're very good at their brand.
Yeah.
Very good at their own brand.
That is a thing. Like, I mean, I think that might be an issue I had for a while, was Nintendo seemed to be its entirely own thing. You know, in the same way, like, I love animation. I'm not a big anime guy. And it's kind of that same thing. You know, like, PS2 is, or, you know, PlayStation is, like, the Adult Swim or the, you know, whatever of animation, whereas Nintendo is the anime. Where it's like, there are people who are fucking diehard. And there are some people who are just like, yeah, it's pretty good. And then there are people who are just like, fuck that thing. And I was always that fuck that thing guy.
Well, you know? The fact that they have their own thing is, like, awesome to me. Like, in a world where now we live in, where we love, like, Marvel connected universe and everybody turning everything into their own universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Nintendo has had that shit on lock since, like, N64, since the first Super Smash Brothers. Like,
original Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, like, they had Donkey Kong and Mario and that whole Mushroom Kingdom thing.
I mean, what they do with Mario, like, is nuts. And the lore and Zelda, I mean, I don't fucking understand any of the Zelda shit.
I have a Zelda history book. I'll let you
know. Oh, that thing is so
like
good.
I was playing Wind Waker, and they're talking about how you're not Link, apparently, in this game.
Yeah.
It's like you're taking over Link's position.
It's almost like this heroic consciousness has been transferred through time through all these different beings.
That's weird. You said you're not really a Zelda guy, but if you ever played Link to the Past on Super Nintendo, by far my favorite Zelda game, but they came out with the Link Between Worlds, which was like the sequel for the 3DS, and it was the basically just a remake.
Yeah.
They changed just a little bit of it to say, hey, it's a sequel, and the whole storyline was like, you're Link, but you're like a very far 100, 200 years later Link.
Like a reincarnation.
Yeah. Yeah, like where there's like lore and history of this guy that saved the kingdom, and it's from Link to the Past.
And it's weird because it is like almost the same thing every time, and you're solving these temple puzzles and everything. Yep. But they find a way to keep it fresh with every game. Like, in Breath of the Wild now, like, this is very beginning. I'm not far at all. Like, there's this one...
Spoiler.
You start off on the Great Plateau or whatever, and there's these little temples you have to hit before you can go out into the rest of Hyrule. But waking up, you wake up, like, in this cave. Like, instead of just, like, a house, like, a little tree house.
Like a house every single day.
Exactly. Yeah. You wake up, like, in this cave that's been, like, sort of furnished, and it's obvious it's been crafted out and touched by humankind. And, but, like, you're being talked to by, like, the spirit. I don't think it's, like, Navi or whatever from the old games.
Hey, listen.
Listen. But, yeah,
I was going to say Navi because that's the only name I know.
It's basically the same thing. There's this female voice that you... are there.
Hello.
And she says, open your eyes. And apparently you've been sleeping for a very long time. You've just been like...
Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah. There we go. Rip Van Winkle. And it is kind of like that, but it's the same theme of you've been in this slumber for many, many years. And
all right.
Maybe all of these Zelda games in the past have been a dream. But it's this whole universe is what I love about it. Is like Zelda has that, and like they combine everything with the Mushroom Kingdom in Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
you're combining Samus and Donkey Kong and Mario.
Is there a story to Super Smash Brothers?
Well, a
canon story, like.
Well, I think one of them, which I think actually the Melee kind of touches on, is like basically it's a story of. This kid has a whole bunch of toys.
Okay, because that's what it made it seem like in the first one.
Yeah.
When you fight Mr. Glove.
The Master Hand.
Master Hand, and that's supposed to be like the kid's actual hand, you know, smacking his toys around.
I like that. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that was like, a thing. I mean, I was always curious why it was a hand. I just kind of assumed it's like, this is fun. You know, and it was kind of like a maybe breaking a wall, and I just never thought too much into it.
Oh, they totally got into this dimensional... thing with it. Which
it's
really
the
cool.
Lego movie before the Lego movie.
Yeah. It's like the Lego movie. It's like it's like the Marvel universe. It's like what I'm saying. It's like I love that kind of thing. It's all these worlds smashing together into one.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's why I love the GameCube. This was one of the first games that kind of brought everything together. I mean, you had N64 doing Super Smash Brothers, but in this way, like you said, Billy, it touched on a little bit of the story behind it and brought even more characters into the fold and kind of started to build this whole thing together.
Yeah, because I feel like Super Smash for like N64 was just, hey, here's a whole bunch of characters, now let's fight each other, you know?
Exactly.
And then it's like, well, how many sequels and how many more games can you put out with that premise without putting a storyline to it? You got to do it somehow.
Did you guys play the PlayStation All-Stars?
Yes.
That sucked.
I've played that
before. Yeah, that was...
The gameplay was fun, but apparently you can only defeat somebody by actually throwing them off the map. You have to get them to a certain percentage before you can actually hurt them. It was so frustrating. Well, because like, I just want... And like, at that point, it was like, if you're going to rip off, you know, Super Smash Brothers, just do it. You know, go full out, man. Like,
well, the one thing I noticed is, like, with the All-Stars and stuff, it's like... PlayStation has all kinds of really badass characters and badass stories, but they don't necessarily fit together too well. Where
they're all too dark.
Yeah.
And then
Nintendo
throwing Ratchet and Clank and you're like, what are these guys doing here?
Yeah, it's like, dude, Ratchet and Clank should not be fighting Cloud Kratos. And Sephiroth. You know, like that doesn't make sense, you know.
It's like, well, but if you look this cartoon rat fighting this guy who's covered in the ashes of his dead wife and child.
yeah. Where you go into like Nintendo and like Super Smash, every single character you see on Super Smash totally makes sense, and you can picture them they're there, you know?
Samus and Link are probably the darkest story.
Yeah, I always forget how dark Zelda can get, though. Having not played it, I'm like, yeah, I know it's dark. Like, I know Ganondorf.
Mm-hmm. Depends on what game you're playing, but...
I mean...
Ganondorf.
But yeah, there's a cartoony element to all of them, even just if you're just looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
even Link, you know, is still kind of cartoony looking.
Oh yeah, and you played one of the most cartoony.
Yeah, I mean it's all cel shaded. It's very Borderlands esque.
Yeah,
love the cel shading. That's another thing about the game.
It's a little rough looking at it now, having played Borderlands and stuff like that. It works. It really helps the transition. I'm glad it was the first thing I played.
Okay.
I'll say that, but it helps the transition of the lo-fi and the limitations of the graphics at the time.
Yeah.
Because I mean it looks great. It looks fine. I mean the you know the backgrounds and environments look amazing.
Yeah.
I think the characters leave a lot to be desired. But
they were very simplistic.
Yeah, and it's fine. I mean it's a style they're going for, you know. I'm talking about the cartooniness of it. Because Samus, that was the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Because even, like, I played a little bit of that Metroid
Prime.
Is that what it's called? Prime?
Yeah.
With that giant-ass bug in the first level.
It sounds like any Metroid, but...
It was like a bug in a giant tube
giant
or something.
Giant bugs or dinosaurs.
But, I mean, even that, like, I mean, it was supposed to be their dark and gritty, you know, like, their real adult, you know, game. But it was still, like, a little cartoony. It was still kind of goofy.
It's still very,
you know,
light.
It was very Doom-esque.
Well, I feel like Metroid and everything kind of got shoved into that, like, dark realm. Mainly because it was, like, I feel like a lot of it has to do with Samus being a female lead that's kind of a badass
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And that's, like, not really all that normal.
It gets lumped in with Alien.
Yeah.
And then you think Alien, you just think dark and
right.
violent.
Because you got to think, even when you look into, like, Zelda and stuff with, like, Ocarina of Time, Zelda finally gets off her ass, starts kicking some ass, but she comes across as this dark, mysterious person with Sheik and stuff that, has, like, this dark kind of, like, you know, almost more of a mature content type theme mm-hmm. behind it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think a lot of that has to do with just being a female lead, so.
I was going to say they do a good job of hiding the darkness, but I think it's more, they're just so subtle that people don't bring it up. You know, like Sheik.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I played a little bit of Ocarina of Time, but whenever she shows up, because is she in Melee? Smash Brothers
yeah.
Melee?
Yeah. Well, you have to pick Zelda
and then you can turn your Sheik. And I was always so confused what was happening when she changed to Sheik, because I'm like, why am I a different character now? What's happening?
That's part of getting the story.
Yeah.
And I mean, having no knowledge of it, and people don't talk about that part unless we're, you know, doing what we're doing now and really dissecting it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but it's an interesting aspect of Nintendo where they do. I've always seen them as the bright and sunny, you know, aspect of gaming.
Well, yeah, and they did have Super Mario Sunshine, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Colorful, very good gameplay. Light.
Yeah,
because that's the one with the water jets, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a fun game.
Yeah, I remember playing a little bit of that. And Paper Mario and all that stuff.
So
like,
fun.
Because that was their RPG, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, like, them as the bright and sunny just kind of got labeled in my head. And them hiding just the darkness that just kind of lurks within what you play. Like, even some of the, not to sound like a high school teacher, but it's like the concept of your girlfriend being kidnapped by a monster and you having to go find her is pretty, it's just Beauty and the Beast, but like, I mean, it's like, depends on how you deal with it, but it can be dark as fuck. I mean, the original Beauty and the Beast story is fucking dark as fuck. But then you go to Disney and it's like, okay, it's just a good story.
I wish we had this one game now, bringing up that kind of storyline of games of you saving this damsel in distress. There was another GameCube game that was that exact same concept that used self-shading. It was a beautiful game. It was a funny game, like almost like meta to the point of like a Deadpool.
Conker's Bad Fur Day?
No, not Conker's Bad Fur Day. It was a game called Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, I remember Beautiful Joe. I hated Beautiful Joe.
Oh, that game was so cool.
But I haven't played it. Such I played 5 minutes of it. So
it was like a funny action-packed side-scroller.
My friend Joe.
Game. Like,
hell yeah.
That one, I think it won a lot of awards. It was like, it was such a fun game.
Because he looked kind of like Falcon, too, right?
He looked like Captain Falcon a little bit, and it was kind of like Power Rangers-y, mm-hmm. where, like, he does these karate moves, and all of a sudden he has his costume on, and mm-hmm. there's, like, a big monster fight in the city.
There was a big push for cel-shading games. Like, I remember one of the Ultimate Spider-Man game was cel-shaded. Yeah. That was fucking awesome.
I love that game.
Yeah. That was a great game.
But, I mean, like, that storyline is so fun. Like, this game was so fun. Like, it starts off, there's a lot of cutscenes. I don't mind good cutscenes in video games, like, if they're going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there's this dude who likes movies a lot, and he's in an empty movie theater with his girlfriend in the front row, and we're watching this old, like, superhero movie.
Why do you need to make fun of me right now?
This is totally trying to get you to relate to this game. That's why I brought it up, actually. But no, it's really cool. Then I start like making out in the theater, and he gets back up from the chair.
Makeout champion on
exactly Instagram. At makeout champion. He's not makeout a makeout champion because she goes to make out with him. She's doing all the aggressive moves, and he's trying to watch his movie. Yeah, and then
I remember that part.
The bad guy reaches out of the screen and grabs her.
Yeah. It's the Last Action Hero, but a video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's so fun.
I need to go back and play that now, because I feel like I'd like it now. Totally. But I think at the time, I just had no appreciation for side-scrollers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like, well, why are you making a 3D system if you're going to make the same thing you've been making for years?
Yeah.
I didn't have any appreciation for, like, it's just really well made.
Yeah.
I feel like some of the best fucking games are on the system. That's why I get mad when people, like, diss it, like, just because I feel like there's so many hidden gems. I don't get mad, really, but I'm like, you're missing out.
Devin,
there's so many hidden
please
gems.
Calm down. I don't appreciate...
Well, I fucking GameCube.
I asked you to be on this show because I thought you could keep your fucking chill.
Dude, anybody who knows
please
me
stop
knows
yelling at me.
I can't handle my shit.
I know. Hannibal.
I can't handle my shit, and that's dope. I crushed it.
Let me put my hand on my belly and then just pull it off just a little bit for a little bit of explanation.
That's my Hannibal laugh. I'm
gonna sit in the corner of the room looking on my phone and go, ha!
Ha! Ha! Ha! I feel like Nintendo gets a bad rap from all the other people that basically sit around and play the single
true gamers.
Yeah, the quote unquote true gamers that literally think they're the shit, but they only
play Call of Duty.
Yeah, they play one style of game and that's that. And it's like, well, they're kind of missing the point of what video games are. Yeah, they can be competitive, and yeah, they can be challenging and this and that, but at the end of the day, it's an entertainment system.
Yeah, you can do anything.
Are you having fun?
Well,
you know,
that's
what
it
is.
Like, it's like anything. You know, like, when someone says, I like movies, I'm like, well, okay, well, like, what kind of movies? I don't know, I just like movies. I'm like, okay, well, Devin and I are comics. When someone says, I like comedy, I'm like, okay, what kind of comedy? Like, I don't know, I just like comedy. I like stand-up. there's a wide variety of stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, do you like dry humor? Do you like dark humor? Do you like fucking dick jokes? Do you like Jeff Dunham?
Most people don't know how to compartmentalize it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
There are so many options to so many things. It's like it's like saying I like music. You know, I like hip-hop. Okay, great. There you go. You're narrowing it down. You know,
yeah,
like
slowly.
But
it's like, because you hear people like, oh yeah, I'm a gamer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you could take two people that claim that they're gamers. One plays Call of Duty. The other one plays World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
They're not going to ever be able to see who's the better gamer because that's all they ever play. And that's
things.
That, you know?
Right.
Where it's like, yeah, I can sit down and I'll play Call of Duty and I play, you know, Final Fantasy and I played Zelda and Super Smash, all this stuff. And I'm not exceptionally great at any of them, but like if you go across the board, I feel like I'm 10 times the gamer as half these other guys.
Yeah,
they may be able to whoop my ass at Call of Duty, but that's it. You know, the other 100,000 games there are, I got them down pat, you know? Like,
who's a better cook, the guy who made meatloaf or the guy who made fish? It's like, well... How good's that meatloaf?
Yeah.
Let me get a taste of that meatloaf.
Well, Billy, thank you for having us on the show.
You're welcome. Come back anytime.
It was great to be on your show, Billy.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Well, I want to plug the GameCube.
Plug your first controller.
Oh, real quick, before we go anywhere, there was 4 controller slots in the GameCube. When you go into Sony, there's only ever 2.
Oh, also, we didn't do our...
Did the PS2... I thought the PS2 had 4.
No, it had 2.
Really?
Yeah.
There was a... I think there was an adapter.
There was.
Where you could plug it in and then play 4 player.
Yeah, but that was a huge pain
in the ass. But yeah, it was only 2 on the system.
So you want to plug controllers.
Yep, controllers.
We forgot the... I'm sorry. We have
final
little
thoughts.
Yeah, we have a little final thought. So, I know you're a fan. I keep trying to speak for everybody, and I got to stop doing that. Would you say the GameCube for you is a hit or a miss?
I think it is a great hit. I don't want to say a grand slam, but it's definitely
hits.
A home run.
Is it going to be on your disc 1 or disc 2 of your greatest hits?
Depends on how many tracks are on disc 1, but probably disc 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because disc 2, if you put the first 2 tracks on disc 2, are usually pretty solid too, though.
Yeah, it's
the rest is like all B sides and like deep cuts.
Yeah, but I've also been PC gaming quite a bit lately. So
fucking nerd.
I know.
This podcast is over.
it's definitely a hit for me.
Cool, Devin. What about you?
It is an absolute hit. People underappreciate this system so much. There's so many good games. There was...
Now you pull out your notes an hour into the show.
They've been here the whole time. Just nobody asked me about that shit.
See you.
Like, all right. So it gets so much shit. Maybe one of the reasons why I liked it is because it was released literally like a month after 9/11.
Whoop, whoop.
It was like literally a month after. So
I love the 2 different reactions.
I was like, like, let me escape this reality and play Luigi's Mansion for a while.
Yeah, Luigi's Mansion. Love that
I got
game.
Luigi's Mansion for DS. That game sucked.
You suck.
No, it was like a sequel to Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, no, the original is where it's at. There's so many good games.
No pun intended.
There was the ones we played tonight, Super Smash Brothers, maybe the best Super Smash Brothers ever. Maybe, in my opinion, the best Mario Kart ever.
It's more expansive than Smash Brothers.
A lot of people disagree with me on the Mario Kart Double Dash.
I've only played.
Because I got the Wii U, like I said before. And
I played a little bit of the Wii U, and the Wii U one was pretty solid.
Yeah, it was solid. That's same thing with Super Smash.
Eight,
yeah.
I mean, I will say that the Star Fox for GameCube was not very good.
Yeah, it was awful. Mm-hmm. I almost borrowed that from Billy. I'm like, oh, I remember playing this. I remember thinking the water looked really cool, but the rest of the game is terrible.
Star Fox Adventures. Star Fox is one of my favorite Nintendo characters, and Star Fox 64 is one of my favorite games.
I used to time myself to see how fast I could get through Star Fox 64, and I would get under an hour.
Oh, man.
I was like
kicking the shit out of Andross.
Yeah.
No!
Do a barrel roll.
The Super Smash Brothers. You did say that GameCube is like the best, like in your opinion, the best one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And although I think like the Wii U is like slightly better, but I really honestly think that's only because the technology is better.
Yeah.
Because if you look at like how many hours I logged on to Super Smash Brothers Melee, that's hands down the best one for
probably
me.
Probably unmatched, like, yeah. That game was everybody played tournaments, adventure mode, whatever. But and then other people diss the small discs all the time, the tiny discs.
I was going to bring that up. How fucking dumb they look.
There's a reason for the tiny discs.
And they also don't hold as much memory.
They don't hold as much memory, which was the drawback to them. And you got gypped maybe on the cross-platform games. But it made the loading time so much quicker.
Yeah. Because there's less memory.
Exactly. But if you... games are fun enough that if you go and compare them side by side, I'm all about, like, instant gratification. Like, if I don't have to watch...
Yeah, I'll masturbate. I think sex is okay, but I mean, like, if I just masturbate, it's, like, right there.
Exactly. I'm a businessman. I'm all about my time, about my minutes. About my minutes is dollars in my world.
You get your prepaid phone cards.
I just think back. I had Resident Evil 2 for PlayStation.
Yeah.
And, like, because I was a kid and treated my games like garbage, it was all scratched up and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, the instant gratification, you could not play my game and, like, live. Because it was scratched up just enough that the game would work. But every time you'd go through a door, it would take like 35 seconds or 45 seconds, like where the door like sits there, you're looking at it, and then finally it goes up and opens, and then the screen goes black for like another 20 seconds, and you're just sitting there, and then you actually end up, the game keeps going.
I got both of you beat. Who has played Morrowind on the Xbox?
I did. Yes, I got it actually.
Do you remember
day one.
Loading that goddamn game just to even fucking start it?
Oh, dude.
It took 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not even like an exaggeration. It took 15 minutes. I timed it.
And that's running at 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember that.
If they would have made a GameCube Morrowind, that
but
shit
would
have been.
But goddamn it, if it didn't stop me. Like, if it did not stop me from playing that goddamn game.
Nope.
That game was fucking incredible at the time.
The Elder Scrolls across the board. Like,
oh, yeah.
But that's another thing when you go into like Bethesda and stuff. I kind of like Nintendo. Bethesda and Nintendo, both of them, I have like such a hard-on for them that even when something isn't like up to par with everything else, I give it a little, you know, grade on a curve.
You give it a Billy bump.
Yeah, a Billy bump.
The Billy bump.
Give it the Billy bump up to the top.
I just imagine you just hitting him with your belly, that slight little edge.
Anything else from your notes?
Yeah.
Mainly the rest of them was like the small disc prevented piracy, and then just all the games. These are
you were worried about piracy. you work for Nintendo.
Hey, your uncle was shit out of luck when it came to GameCube.
I think he tried to do it.
As long as
it wouldn't surprise me.
As long as I could still pirate the handheld Nintendo systems, I'm all right on my Galaxy tablet. But no, just the games were amazing. There was Super Smash Brothers, Mario Kart Double Dash, Soul Calibur 2. You had Rogue Squadron 2.
Yeah,
which was an amazing game. You had Resident Evil 4, which was, I think, originally only
Resident
on GameCube.
Resident Evil 0 was also...
Resident Evil 0, yeah. I have that one. That was a good one.
Beautiful Joe. You had the Game Boy Player, where you could hook the thing up and play Game Boy games on the TV.
The 64, too.
You could do that with Super Nintendo.
Well, you could do it at the very least with Pokemon Stadium.
Game Boy games.
Oh, yeah, Pokemon Stadium. I remember that game.
Because
yeah,
you could transfer the Pokemon that you...
from your game,
from your
game
to
the screen.
And then you can also play Pokemon on your TV.
Oh, that's right.
It would
yeah,
play like a Pokemon color. It would just change the color. It would be like purple or green or, you know.
Yeah. I totally remember that now.
There was a game for GameCube, Bounty Hunter. And it was...
The Star Wars one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's dude. On... you can Love buy it for game. Like $3 on PlayStation right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was a good game.
That was Jango Fett one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I didn't think that was an exclusive, but I have it for that.
No, it definitely wasn't exclusive.
There was the original Metal Gear remake, Twin Snakes, that they made for Game Boy or GameCube, which was amazing. Luigi's Mansion, Super Monkey Ball, Sonic Adventure Battle 2.
Super Monkey Ball. Love that game.
I'm going to argue with you on the Metal Gear 1. I'm not a big Metal... I like Metal Gear. I never played Metal Gear 1, but...
Like
I can't stand here and say that, like, let you say that the remake of Metal Gear Solid was better on the GameCube than it was on the PlayStation.
No, he's just saying that the system had this game.
It had
it. Nobody else did.
But I will strike that one from the record because I don't think that counts.
It was a good update. Have you ever played it?
I have not.
Then you can outform an opinion on it.
Go fuck yourself, Devin.
Yeah.
But yeah, hit for me. And George, what would you say after playing these very few games?
Well, I took my my brain arrow out of my thought quiver and I put it in my controller hands. And I pulled it back real tight, took a deep breath.
Oh, yeah. Closed.
Released. And played a little Wind Waker. God damn it if it wasn't at Bullseye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The archery game brings you around.
I thoroughly enjoyed this. I don't know if it's going to, like, I was going to ask you, Billy, if I could borrow this so I could try and finish Wind Waker. I don't know how long it takes.
Yeah, like I said, I have two of them, so you're good, man.
Yeah, I need something until Mass Effect comes out. By the time this comes out, I'd be like, why didn't you just fucking buy it already? I dug it. I don't know if it's going to last my interest in it. I don't know if it's just because Wind Waker's that good of a game or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I got it. Like, I think there's a little part of me that's like, yeah, it's still a party system. But it's not nearly as egregious as the Wii.
Yeah, I keep going back to that whole thing that it's an entertainment system,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I miss split screen, man. Like, that's a big thing. Like, I mean, it's just... all but gone now. Like, I mean, I play with Sam. I play Overwatch with Sam, online or NU online, but it's not the same.
No.
I mean, there's something about the energy of playing something like Mario Kart, where you're just sitting in the room, you know, having some beers and, you know, smoking or whatever, and like just playing and hitting someone with a blue shell or somehow getting someone with a green shell.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's just like, do you fucking get me? He's like, yeah, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you go into, like, the Mario parties, which we did not play tonight.
Yeah,
but
I never was a big Mario Party guy.
The one for the Wii U, like, ups it quite a bit. I don't know if you guys played that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because they have, like, two different styles. They have, like, the regular, like, Mario Party style, and then they have, like, the Bowser style.
Okay.
Where the person with the tablet controller plays as Bowser, mm-hmm. and then everybody else plays against them. And stuff, so, like, you got, like, one person playing against four and stuff.
And we're, like, the person with the tablet thing can see certain things that everybody else can't on the TV.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a really cool application. But,
yeah.
They got some good innovations. So, I mean, I'm not I still wouldn't consider myself a Nintendo guy, but, you know, I'm into it. And I definitely am turned around on this. So.
I'm going to just keep shoving different Nintendo systems at you as soon as you hand me another one back. I'm going to just
shove it down my throat, baby.
I'm going to give you Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask with my
N64. I have so desperately been wanting to play Ocarina of Time for a long time.
It's my number
and
two.
When I bought the DS, it was like, okay, I'm going to get Ocarina of Time, and I kept finding it for like $40. I'm like, I'm not going to buy it for $40. I mean, I'm sure it's great, but it's not. It's a game that's been out for 20 years.
I also have it for 3DS. So.
That's what I mean, 3DS. But yeah. Billy, do you have anything you want to talk about? Any shit you want to plug?
Well, I got we stream our D&D sessions on Twitch.
Billy and I play D&D.
Yep. It's Twitch. Look up Big Old Bacon, BIGOLBAKIN. That's my name. And, you'll see all our D&D sessions Sunday from 5 to 10.
Yeah, you can watch Billy role play really well to the point where I think he's legitimately upset with me. And he looks dead in the eye. He looks me dead in the eye, and I'm like, I don't know if I upset Billy or not.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. Huh?
I just remembered that we didn't open our fortunes for tonight.
Oh, we'll do that at the end of the...
We'll do that. Okay, sorry. I'm getting really excited. I'm staring at these cookies in the middle of the table. I'm like, I fucking want to eat the shit out of those things. I want to split them in half and read the knowledge they have.
Well,
knowledge is power.
That's true. 2 seconds, so we'll cut this out and we'll throw it at the end. Devin, do you have anything else to plug?
Just follow me at News on Devin. I was also just recently on Let the Hate Flow Through You podcast on the Lousy Weather Media Network. I talked about how much I hate greed.
Greed. Not creed, right?
I hate them too. I didn't talk about it.
Wait, are you talking about the homunculus greed from Full Metal Alchemist? Because I thought he was probably my favorite one, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. I wasn't a big fan of Lost.
My favorite homunculus was from Todd in the Book of Pure Evil, but that's...
I don't know that one.
Oh, you haven't seen that show?
A deep cut.
I'll have to show you that show. You would appreciate it, I think. But no, I hate Creed. I hate greed. I love the movie Creed.
Oh, it's so good.
But no, the music band, video? Fuck them.
Like the movie of all their music videos?
the master cut of Creed videos.
their IMAX movie was incredible.
Behind the Music. Love that shit, dude. I mean, Behind the Music was good.
Same guy who did the Metallica music video?
Behind the Music was good no matter who the band was. It's but
true. Wide open.
It was called My Own Prison. Yeah, I mean, I think this will come out by the time it happens, or right before. I have a sketch show in Cleveland at Brothers Lounge on April 2nd. If this is already out, then disregard. But it's $5. I believe it's a Sunday night. It starts at 8 o'clock. There's a lot of stuff. We're really working hard on this. We're doing a bunch of videos. I'm working way more than I should right now. And yeah, it just come out. It's going to be fun. We're called the Sad Boys of Comedy. And if not, if you can't make it to that, and if you're interested, we do a show pretty much every month in Kent at Michelle's. I don't fucking know what it's called. But yeah, and keep listening to the podcast, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you rate us on iTunes, it really, 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 really helps because when people have ratings on their show, it actually adds to visibility of the show. So I don't think you can rate on Google. I've tried. I tried looking it up and I couldn't find anything. But
I don't have an iTunes account.
Yeah, I don't fucking like. I only have it so I can see if people have rated. and I need it. I need an iTunes account just to have it on iTunes. But
yeah.
Follow, subscribe. Oh yeah, no, I was also just recently on, by the time this came out, it'll be like 2 or 3 episodes in, but, the Slurmcast, it's a Futurama podcast.
Oh my god, that's exactly what I was about to ask.
Yeah, we talk about, the episode, where Fry gets worms from eating a gas station egg salad sandwich.
Such a good episode.
Which I was super grossed out about the first time I watched it. And it's about an hour and a half cut down, or it's about 2 hours cut down to an hour and a half of me desperately having to pee the whole time. So it was a fun episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We talk about Doctor Who and shit too. So if you're one of those fucking nerds, check it out.
Friend of mine always posts on Facebook, like, on the anniversary, the date that Slurms McKenzie died. Like, every once a year, it just pops up. I'm like, son of a bitch, he's still dead.
Slurms McKenzie. I like that because I based a sketch character in our sketch group off of Spuds McKenzie. I name him Johnny Pretzels. And he just dresses like Spuds McKenzie, but he's a human. And instead of drinking, he just eats pretzels and stays silent. He doesn't actually party. He just kind of sits in the corner, but everybody treats him like he's the coolest guy in the world. We're doing a Johnny Pretzel sketch at the show, so I'll be there.
I want to see that.
Yeah, you should come.
That's Sad Boys?
Yeah.
That's nice. Nice.
So, Billy, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. And next week we are possibly doing yoga. Who knows anymore when all these things are going to be airing or what we're actually doing.
I already saved up my paid days off at work in case I pull something.
I am 100% going to pull something.
I'm the least flexible person on the planet.
We've had now two or three people offer physical activities, and I am very upset about that because I am probably one of the least physical people you will ever meet. Like, if someone's like, hey, let's have sex, I'm like, I got a girlfriend, so no. But I kind of worked myself into a corner on that one. I was like, I'm gonna have a joke here, but I lost it.
Well, now you can play GameCube and with fast enough loading screens, so you can play some GameCube, jerk off, and it doesn't matter.
I like a longer loading screen. I'll take some time in between.
Make the loading screens long so she just falls asleep and forgets she wanted to have sex.
The loading screen comes up, and I'll be like, Abby, get over here. We got 15 seconds. Let's go.
Quick. Let's do it.
It's twice as long as our normal session.
Hold on. I got to get this gameplay tip. Hold on. You got to get this gameplay tip.
Press L or R? Oh, no.
Where's the clitoris button?
Tap it. Tap it. Tap it.
Mostly the C was turned into a joystick for the GameCube. So you had to work it in circles.
All right. I'm even uncomfortable now.
I'm far off of reality.
Yeah. I couldn't pass it up.
Bye.
Bye.
Wait, one more thing. As I heard, you got to be a little rougher with the C-stick than you think you have to be. And that's the last
thing. Unless
she says
softer. God damn it, I hate ourselves. Mostly I hate you guys, but like... Beep, 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 bleep. Bye.
Love you.
Love you too. Because you had to be a big shot, did you? You had to open up your mouth. You had to be a big shot, did you? All your friends were so knocked out. You had to have the last word last night to know what everything. Make a beat off of it.
That could be our raindrop, drop top, mumble rap beat. Raindrop, crop top.
I don't know anything about mumble rap.
You will in a couple weeks.
So all right.
Oh, God.
Don't talk. God damn it. This is my podcast. All right. And...